Hi, and welcome to Regrouping for Recovery, podcast episode 8. I'm Miss Ann. I'm a real person. I'm not AI. This is not medical or therapeutic advice. This podcast is for encouragement, and I hope we meet that goal. And if you know someone who you think may also need some encouragement, please share this podcast with them. Our website is regroupingforrecovery.com. That's regrouping, the number 4, recovery.com. Read my blogs, enjoy my book reviews, and listen to the podcast. It's all there to share. It's all there for encouragement. And don't forget my book, Regrouping the First 100 Days, published in March 2025. Tonight's episode, Turn It Over. God willing, we'll do episode number 9 at some point soon. And first, a quick shout out. A shout out to the people of Reach Up magazine. You may know this magazine. It's called Reach Up because you're reaching up for something better. Their magazines are available at myreachup.org. That's myreachup.org. And a lot of nonprofits distribute them as well. I got my copy at the Springdale Library locally in Springdale, Arkansas. Shout out to them for having the publication there. The magazine is for encouragement, and it's written by women for women, but topics may be of interest to a broader audience, like the tips in Winter 2025 about vision boards and car care, or Fall 2025, the most recent one about body upkeep, you know, what are we talking about here, hygiene. real stories and tips that will encourage and or inspire. Give it a look at myreachup.org. Also want to shout out, you know, fall is in the air. I also want to shout out to the people in West Virginia and Northern Virginia because it's apple cider donut time. I'm thinking of all of you. I've enjoyed my share of apple cider donuts over the years. What a treat. And what's everybody else doing? Are you doing apple cider donuts? Are you doing PSL? Are you doing caramel apples yet? Doing some apple crisp? OMG, how about the Selena Gomez chocolate cinnamon Oreo cookies? Anybody? Well, I hope you're enjoying fall, whatever you're doing. Here's our witticism for the week. That's just a witty remark or piece of wisdom or quote. This quote is actually from a book I just finished reading. It's from Patton's Prayer by Alex Kershaw. The subtitle on that book is A True Story of Courage, Faith, and Victory in World War II, published in 2024 by Penguin Random House. A great book. It took me about 3 days to finish reading it. I got to return it to the library, so let me get this quote in here. This is a quote from General George S. Patton, and he's a controversial general for sure, but his courage was never in dispute. So this is a quote from his on page 3 of the book. He says, if we take the generally accepted definition of bravery as a quality which knows not fear, I've never seen a brave man. All men are frightened. The courageous man is the man who forces himself, in spite of his fear, to carry on. Discipline, pride, self-respect, self-confidence, and the love of glory are attributes which will make a man courageous even when he is afraid. But please just zero in on those, that middle part there. The courageous man is the man who forces himself, in spite of his fear, to carry on. Fear's universal. You know, we got that fight or flight part of our brain, part of our substance, part of the wiring of the brain. But it's just like the well-known AA slogan, face the fear and do it anyway. Patton's quote paraphrased, force yourself, despite your fear, to carry on. And carry on we must. We have a lot of things to do. And if you told me a year ago I'd be podcasting, I'd probably say, what's a podcast? I don't know. You're going to do things you haven't done. You're going to do things that bring fear to you. Give yourself the chance to do new things. Give yourself the chance to do the things that you're here on the earth to do. You have unique skills and talents. Do the hard work. Face the fear. Do the things. And yes, I know you've had setbacks. I know you've had circumstances in your life, but don't let them be the end point. Patton had trouble reading and writing in boyhood, and maybe we could even call it ADHD today. I don't know. He failed math at West Point and had to repeat a year, but he became one of the greatest generals ever. He was shot in World War I, got the Purple Heart, didn't let fear get in the way of becoming a great general and a war hero of World War II. Okay, well, let's get started with some deep breathing. Lots to do today, and I hope you've been doing your deep breathing during the week. Let's do it. Let's take a nice deep breath in through the nose. Feel yourself filled with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Our next one. Take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself filled with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings, woulda, coulda, shouldas. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Our next one. Take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself filled with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings, woulda, coulda, shoulda, shame, grief, loss, pain, doubt. Push it all out. Our last one. Take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself filled with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings. Let them go, let them go, let them go. And please remember to do this throughout the day. And remember to hold the breath, because that's what brings down the heart rate and tells your brain there's no big emergency going on right now. If we're standing here deep breathing, or if we're sitting here deep breathing, just go ahead and do it throughout the day. It gives you the time to be present. It gives you the time to focus on the here and now and tune out all the stuff weighing you down from the past and all the stuff that's racing you into the future. Just be present. So I remember some time ago, I applied for a job in a group home. You know, I did all the things that you do to prep for a job interview. I looked nice. I fixed my hair. I cleaned myself up. You know, I got some help with the resume. It looked like it was supposed to. I even asked to shadow at the job, which I did. One interview question from this really, really stood out to me. They asked, you know, if you had a budget and you had two projects, which one would you do first? They said you could fix the outside of the house because it needed to be renovated, and you could fix the inside of the house because that needed renovated too. So I tried to do the best sounding, biz speak I knew to do at the time. And I talked about timelines and seasonal costs and, you know, all the stuff you say to avoid committing to what might be the wrong position, you know, all the deflective dances that you can do. But there's no broken windows. There's no leaky roof. There's no cracked foundation. We're just talking about a coat of paint. Are you going to put it here? You're going to put it there. That was really what the question comes down to. And there's no right answer, of course. They're looking for your reasoning, and they're also looking for your authenticity. And I really don't remember how I answered it. I'm sure I said something about client-centered because that was one of the buzzwords of the day. I did know that after shadowing, the job was not a good fit for me. It was a tech position, and you'd have to be there overnight, and it just really wasn't a good fit for me. So I didn't get the job. I don't know that I was even offered the job, but I know it wasn't a good fit, and I didn't work there. But what would you say if you were asked that question? Would you start with the inside, or would you start with the outside, and why? And I revisited the question later on, many, many years later, as a doctoral student. And I thought, gee, maybe this is really a metaphor for fixing me, you know, the inside, before I fix something on the outside, meaning others. And that kind of made sense in the context of what I was studying then. And now I'm not so sure, because there's a lot of triggers in the environment too. So sometimes the outside, you know, people, places, things, makes the difference for sobriety. So do you fix the inside or the outside? Suppose both have really the same importance. Where would you start? And why? And again, no right or wrong answer. But don't look for the canned answer to please the interviewer. This is a question just for you. Fix the inside, fix the outside. What would you do and why? And I think I said I was going to talk a little bit about fear tonight. And you might have felt a little fear a moment ago thinking about the right answer. You've had times like that. I know I had another job interview years later. And this was a panel, and everyone asks a question, you know, the type. Everybody goes around, they ask a question, and they write down what you say. And they're supposed to be entirely objective, you know, not making any eye contact, just scratching down the answers. And they say, so the lady hands me a paper, and she says, here, look at this paper. What can you tell us? So I look at it. It was a budget, and they were clearly under budget. And now this interview was in the era of Lean and Six Sigma. I mean, this is all just coming in. This was all in vogue, hot and heavy. So I rambled on a little bit about that and being a good steward of public money, because it was a government job after all. And, you know, my education and job skills had increased from the group home interview. And I had a lot of, you know, a lot of different jobs in between. But I could read the body language of the interviewers on the panel. And I could see that they, you know, this was not a good fit. At the end of the interview, I asked about the budget question, curiosity. I had to ask, you know, like, what highlights were you wanting? And, you know, because I had picked up on the subtle disdain during that question, particularly one sourpuss. You know, she had the sighs and the eye rolls. Maybe she muttered, bah, thumbs down, spit on the ground, you know, various nods of no, you know, those subtle cues that kind of signal that, you know, really you're not going to get a follow-up call. So I asked her and I said, well, you know, could you tell me about that question? You know, was there a particular answer you were looking for? And she said something like this. She said, this is government, hon. When you're under budget, you need to spend it. You know, otherwise you'll have less next year. So clearly wasn't a fit. You know, clearly wasn't a fit. But I'm looking for the right answer, and I wasn't going to find it. Now, I know you've been in these kinds of situations where you want to say and do all the right things, right? You know, I've been there many times. I just shared two of them. It's not because the question was so important, you know, inside, outside, spend more, spend less. It's not so much about the question. You want to say and do all the right things because you want the outcome. And I wanted the job, or I wanted the date, or I wanted the good perception of the boss, or the good perception of the teacher, you know, the outcome stuff. And as I think back about it, I realized that I wasn't in the moment during these job interviews. I wasn't chatting and enjoying the process. I wasn't actively learning about what they do. I was focused more on the impression that I was going to make, and then the outcome that I was expecting or wanting. And then, of course, I found myself agonizing over saying the right things. And that's where the fear creeps in. That's where the discomfort creeps in. You want to be doing the right things. So the key point tonight is that you really can't control the outcome. And you know where I'm headed with this. You've got to surrender the outcome. You've got to give it to your higher power. You've got to let it be. You've got to stop trying to control the outcome. Just do your thing. Be the best you, be in the moment, do you, and do it well, and there's no right answers. You have no idea if the interview is real or that job was promised to somebody's brother-in-law. You have no idea if the judge had a bad day or the hearing before was something that really irked the judge. You really don't know that. You can't control every contingency and know the right answer to every question. Just be the best you, in the moment, and turn it over. Turn the outcome over. So back to General Patton and the book, Patton's Prayer. It recounts how they're stuck in the mud. There's lots of rain. He knew he couldn't control the weather. Now, this is a general, seasoned general, been in many battles, two world wars. What does he do? Three, I should say. He was also in the Spanish-American War. So three wars he's in. What does he do? Can't control the weather, can't control the rain, can't control the fog. What does he do? He had prayer cards drawn up for 250,000 men, asking them to pray to the Most High for clearer weather so that it would allow the troops to advance and would allow for air cover. So he asks his chaplain, James H. O'Neill, to write a prayer. And that's in the book, and you can look it up online. But the prayer was to restrain the rains, and to have fair weather for battle. That's the main part of it. But what was the outcome? Well, you can read the outcome. It's in the history books. So for a job interview, a presentation, or a podcast, or a hearing, prep, prepare, but you can't control the outcome. You can't control the weather. You can't control if you're going to get the job. You can't control being liked. You can't control being accepted. You can't control being hired. You can't control being released. You can't control being a rock star, whatever it is. But isn't it just about being respected? So that's the question. Where does it start? Does that start on the inside, or does it start on the outside? bring your best self, stay in the moment, surrender the outcome. And that's our podcast for tonight. Oh, we have to breathe. Let's do some deep breathing. Let's take a nice deep breath in through the nose. Feel yourself fill with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Our next one, take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself fill with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings, woulda, coulda, shouldas. Let them go, let them go, let them go. Our next one, take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself fill with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings, woulda, coulda, shoulda, shangri floss, paint out. Push it all out. Our last one, take a nice deep breath in. Feel yourself fill with love and positive energy. Feel yourself getting stronger and stronger. And hold it, hold it, hold it. Push out all that negative energy, negative thoughts, negative feelings. Let them go, let them go, let them go. And thanks for sharing this time with me tonight. Thanks for joining me on our podcast. Thanks for making time for this. I'm sending a silent intention of peace and love to you. Please send one to your family and friends. And please send a silent intention of peace and love to somebody who might be struggling tonight. Have a great fall. We'll see you in another week or so. This is Miss Ann, and this was podcast episode 8.